Welcome everyone to my webinar. My name is Grace Sirocco. And today I want to talk about the biggest myth in marriage. What is this myth that I'm talking about? Well, some of you probably already know, some of you are new to me, but I run in relationship renewal retreats in Niagara-on-the-Lake. I've been doing it for the past 13 years. Over 3,000 couples have graduated from my program. So before they come, I send them a questionnaire. And I ask them, what are your issues? Why are you coming to a relationship retreat? What do you want to get out of it? And the number one thing people say to me is, Grace, I want to go back to the way we were. I want to go back to the way I was with my wife. I want to go back to the way I was with my husband. When we started in the early days, it was really, really great between us. And I'm coming to this retreat and that's what I want. I want to go back to the way we were. I mean, doesn't Barbara Streisand sing a song, The Way We Were? I think we're all kind of addicted to this idea. And so one of the first things that I like to do is I like to debunk some myths and some virus thinking that we have about relationships, romantic relationships, and marriage. And one of those ideas is that we can go back to the way we were. And we can't. It's impossible. It's like saying, I want to be 5 years old. I wish I could go back and be a teenager again. I wish I could go back and be a 21-year-old. It's just not possible to go back. So your relationship, like you, is organic. It's always changing. It's always evolving. And very much like you, like human beings, it's constantly changing and evolving. There's different seasons in marriage, in relationships. You know, I've celebrated many, many years of a marriage with my husband this week. We celebrated 36 years of marriage. It's kind of scary when I think about it. It's like, oh my God, 36 years. And looking back, there are so many different seasons. You know, there's the season when love is young and there's no kids. There's the season when we were traveling a lot. There was season when we had the diapers and we had small children and we were like just trying to cope. There's the season when the kids were teenagers. That was probably our most difficult season. There's just different seasons. There's the empty nest season that we're in right now. So there's different seasons and it's just kind of unwise and unproductive to say, honey, I just wish, you know, we could go back to the way we were. It's just not possible. And why is that? Because relationships go through 7 stages. And today I want to talk about those 7 stages. And perhaps if you're going through a difficult time with your beloved, with your loved one, maybe you can find yourself in one of these stages and kind of like, you know, shed some light on, oh, this is why. This is where we're at and it's okay. A lot of us in our culture, we are addicted to that stage one. What is stage one? Stage one is romance, moonlight, and roses. Stage one is the gaga stage. Stage one is when you are in love. And everything you do and everything you breathe and everything you see it through the lens of this person who somehow just has captured your imagination. Stage one is necessary. It's a wonderful time of life. Everyone deserves to fall in love at least once in their lifetime. It's one of those experiences that you can't miss. Every cell in your body is on fire. In fact, research has shown that people who are in that stage one gaga, in love stage, don't get sick. Their immune system is functioning 3 times more effectively and efficiently than people who are not in love. People who are in stage one are on fire all the time. Life is in color. They're positive. And what's going on in stage one? Well, you know, we say, you know, you fall in love. And what I think's going on is that I think we are falling in love with ourselves as reflected through their eyes. When this person really sees us, really sees our brilliance and how amazing we are, this is the person that, you know, is reflecting to us our magnificence. This is the person that is making us feel so many wonderful, amazing things. The Tibetan culture, they have a beautiful greeting. When they see you, they put their hands together like this and they bow and they say, Tashidale, Tashidale. It's like a form of namaste. So it's Tashidale. And when I was at a refugee camp in Darjeeling, India, I met these people and I immediately fell in love with all things Tibetan. Such a kind, gentle culture, beautiful, beautiful people. And, you know, I had to ask somebody, like, what does this mean, Tashidale? Well, it means I salute the magnificence in you. I honor the light in you. I mean, the full definition, the full greeting is I honor the place in your heart where lives your courage and love and hopes and dreams. And I honor the place in you where you are at that place and I am at that place. There's only one of us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that magnificent? So stage one is all about that. Stage one, I mean, I think the reason why we kind of lose that loving feeling, we, you know, we disconnect, is because we don't see our partner anymore. I remember a really, really good friend of mine who went through a very terrible divorce. And I said to her, hey, like, when did you know? When did you know that it was over? And she said, when I was expecting our third child, he didn't see me anymore. Not only that, he didn't see that I was carrying this amazing life, this our child. He didn't see me anymore. I had just become commonplace. I think that's what we're craving for. And that is the gift of stage one. But it can't last. The definition of life, the definition of marriage, the valleys, you know, the shit, all of it, it just cannot possibly last to stay in stage one forever. I remember one of my clients, Annabelle, she told me she was in love. She also went through a terrible divorce and I was coaching her through it. And then she had met this Argentinian man, Alessandro. And she wrote him some amazing, pretty, like, you know, hot, mucho caliente love letters. And she sent me an excerpt one day. And, you know, I have it here. This is stage one love. Okay, are you ready? You might need some water or ice cubes close by. My love, it's been all so magical, like some fairy tale in a secret garden. If it's a dream I'm dreaming, I don't ever want to wake up. Every day I spend with you, a new door opens, and there is wonder and awe and excitement and gratitude. The passion I feel with you is out of this world. You have me climbing the peaks until I'm up there in glaciers of ice, somewhere in Tibet, in the freezing cold, and yet the fire that you have started inside of me is red hot. Oh my, most days, she says, I'm on fire and it hurts being away from you. In your arms, I feel like that perfect onion, which has turned soft and supple in the butter and heat of your love. Wow, I think I need a drink after that. My Prosecco and mineral water. So yes, this is stage one, fresh, alive, hot, smitten. It's like a drug. Every detail is observed. There's so much hope that this is the one, this is the person that all my dreams will come true. But stage one doesn't last. And I'm sorry to tell you that, it just cannot last. It's like a wild and crazy firecracker in the sky, exploding with fantastic patterns of light, but which quickly extinguishes. If you eventually move down to stage two with this person, it will have already started to change. If you want stage one again, you have to start it up with a new person. And there are people that I meet, you know, who are so angry at their partner or at life that, like, why isn't it that way again? You know, when you have children, children are a bomb. Like, they're just a nuclear bomb in a relationship. All your focus is now on the children. You know, you've got to be paternal and maternal, and you have to be, you know, vigilant, and your amygdala and your emotional brain is on alert. It's like, is something going to happen to my babies? You're not in gaga stage one. You can't be. So, you know, and it's not just children are the bomb. There are, you know, diseases. There's death of our loved ones, of our parents, of our friends. There is bankruptcy. There is losing jobs. There's so many of these life events that have so much stress attached to it that they're bound to kind of infiltrate the bubble of stage one and to shake it up and to say, hey, something else is going on here, and to kind of lose that gaga stage. So it's just life. And I wish that people would tell us this, because so many couples come to me and say, you know what, I'm just no longer in love. So, you know, plenty of fish in the sea. And these days with this, you know, with all of these social media and websites where you can go there and find, you know, there's plentyoffish.com and match.com. And there's so many of these places that you can just go and find a new partner, because the old partner stage one has expired and it's getting a little bit too messy now. And I didn't sign up for this, you know? And I remember one guy said to me, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. This is just getting too heavy right now. And she's got too many heavy duty emotions, and I'm not equipped for this. And some of us mature and we stay in the fire and we mature and we learn about ourselves, because nothing makes you learn about yourself than relationship. You want to meet a really boring person? You talk to someone who's never really dove deep into the sea of love. Someone who's never really risked it for love and had a full-time serious relationship. That is somebody who's pretty shallow and pretty uninteresting. It's being with someone who challenges you and who holds up a mirror to you that we kind of work on our soul, we work on ourselves, and we kind of polish that beautiful gem that we are. We are all these incredible, beautiful gems, but it's through love and through care and commitment. It's commitment when you know that the person beside you says, no matter what, I'm not leaving. I had a couple this morning who had this, you know, he said to her, he goes, wild horses can't pull me away. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, nothing's going to make me stop loving you. I am not quitting. I am not leaving. And I know sometimes we have to end relationships, and don't think that I'm this Pollyanna that realizes that some relationships, it just comes, it's like the ending just comes and you have to move on and it's okay. But a lot of us give up way too soon. That's why I do what I do. I'm convinced that the breakups and the divorces needn't happen so as much as they do if people just knew a little bit more about some of these myths and virus thoughts that we have. So that's romance, stage one, moonlight and roses. So recap, we can't go back to the way we were. Relationships are constantly moving. They're going down these different stages, the same way we do. You know, we go from childhood to teenagehood to adolescence to adulthood to middle age and so on. So what's the second stage, you might be asking? Where do we go from here? We go into commitment. So when you've done the gaga and you've been in stage one and you're in the moonlight and roses, eventually, one person will say, hey, what are we here? Where is this going? Are we doing long-term? Like, what are we doing here? Some women, you know, like they want the ring. They want a commitment. This is Sometimes it's just a vow. Sometimes it's just a promise. You know, in the olden days when people would go off to war, the men would go off to war, they would give her the ring and she'd wear it around her neck, like in a necklace. And it was like a promise ring. It was just like, hey, you know, I'm coming back for you and I am committing to you. So if relationships don't go to this commitment, the pledge, the vow stage, they're not mature. Some people just stay at stage one. And when it expires, one fire, you know, work expires, they go to another person, stage one, and then another person, stage one. This is the person who is addicted to serial affairs. People who just want that feel good. They want that like alive feeling and they just want to have that, you know, serial stage one over and over and over and over. Eventually it expires. That honeymoon period is not supposed to last forever. And that's why sometimes affairs are such an illusion. You know, you think that like, wow, they're this amazing thing, but there's no stage two. There's no commitment. Oftentimes both parties are married and this relationship happens in a bubble and it's the perfect part of you, perfect part of them. There is no other thing to worry about. And so they're only stage one and they're so addictive. They're so addictive. They feel so good. And think about it. The average person goes through so much stress, so much change, you know, that something like stage one affair makes you feel so good. Why wouldn't you take it up and go for it? So there's no judgment here. I mean, this just happens. This is how we are wired. We are mammals looking for love. We're looking for that pat on the back. We're looking for that, you know, I feel good enough. Because, you know, the majority of us feel not good enough. You know, we've got this huge umbrella that we're always underneath. And the umbrella is, I'm not good enough some way. So if the relationship it matures, eventually goes to stage two, which is the commitment. And then once the commitment is made and you kind of figure it out, hey, what are we doing? Are we going to wait to get married? Are we going to get married? Are we going to live together? Like, you know, are we exclusive? You know, are we Facebook exclusive or no, what is it? Facebook acknowledged now, you know, we've put it on Facebook in our community. So that's a commitment. Eventually it goes to stage three. What's stage three? Stage three is the crack in the vase. It's the crisis. The first moment of disillusionment. This person that you love has in-laws from hell or a really mouthy teenager or really bad PMS or bad breath. There might be other problems at stage three. Stage three is like the first crisis. It's the first like, uh-oh. Careers that don't mesh. Do you know how many people break up because they just don't want the same things? You know, one person wants to move to Switzerland. One person wants to stay in Canada. One person wants to go traveling and be a vagabond. The other person wants to settle down and have kids right away. So they don't want the same things. And so now, this is when the problems begin. And some people don't make it past stage three. They give up and they start over stage one with someone new. If you do make it through, they have to realize that, hey, I'm different. You're different. We're not wrong. And how do we bridge these differences now so that we can make a life together? How do we make it practical? How do we make it work? Okay, we're going to have two kids. You're going to stay home with the kids for the first 5 years and I'll go to work. Or we'll do it 50-50. Or your career makes more money, so why don't you go to work and I will be the stay-at-home dad? So whatever you decide at stage three, you got to come up with, you know, deal with these cracks that come up and like, you know, everything's not perfect. Uh-oh, but we're not going to run away. We're going to stick it out. If you stick it out, eventually you get to a place called stage four. Stage four gets really interesting, gets really messy. It's called the ordeal, the power struggle. This is when people come to see me. The same issues keep coming up, same patterns keep coming up. You're not the boss of me, okay? Or, you know, you're the authoritarian person. You're like in control of the money. You're in control of the kids. You're like the bossy person. And so the power struggle, same stuff happens over and over, and they don't seem to find a way out. There's no kind of back and forth. There's no kind of let's make a plan here and kind of come up to a compromise. So what happens? Resentments build, and resentments are really hardened anger. Resentments, as John Gray, the Venus and Mars expert guy on relationships, he says resentments kill many, many marriages. When you have all this resentment, but you've never expressed it, because in your mind, you don't have a right to. That's what resentment does. Like, you just end up resenting them kind of in private, behind their back. And then when you've got like this pile of resentments, it's like there's no place to go with this relationship. And oftentimes, the person who is being resented is blindsided. I hear this a lot too. They go, I had no idea that my partner was not happy. They never said anything. I had no idea, Grace. I am shocked. So that resentment, one person who doesn't, maybe is not alpha, is not the leader, doesn't speak up. Maybe they're used to kind of letting other people lead. But over time, the resentments start to build up. And so the dark side of each person comes out, the ugliness, and they might say some nasty things, and then some of the resentments from the past, from parents and in-laws and education and where we moved, and I had to make concessions, and you got to go to work, you got to stay home and raise the children. So these resentments start to kind of fester. But this is a stage, this is an invitation really to deal with your childhood crap, your drama. Because I really believe that every person, has this two rivers inside of themselves. They've got the river called mom, and they got the river called dad. So maternal, paternal, female and male energies through us. And it was how we were raised by these people, or whoever they were for you. If they were surrogates, they were adoptive parents, they were aunts and uncles, they were grandparents, whoever raised you. But we have these female and male rivers. And all of our other relationships stem from these two core rivers. All the tributaries are all the other relationships. And I always say that if your relationship with mom, that river with mom is not clean, if there's hurt and betrayal and resentments and things that you don't understand in the river with mom, you're going to have problems with females in your life. And if you're in your river called dad, the male energy, if there's all kinds of crap in that river, the unresolved conflicts and resentments and anger and shame and all the juicy emotions, the negative emotions, if there's stuff in dad river, then all your relationship with males in your life just don't work. So when we're in relationship with our beloved, our partner that we want to make a life with, this person often, is triggering. They trigger different reactions from us. And the reason why they get to trigger that is because there's already stuff in your river from childhood. So I always say that this person who loves you so much and who's in your life and who's making your life miserable and it's getting very messy, this person is a gift. This person is your mirror, because they're basically holding the mirror up to what your triggers are. It's information so you can work on yourself. You want to work on yourself. You want to be the best version of you. You don't want to be constantly triggered by every single person that walks by. My definition of enlightenment is to be able to not be triggered by anyone or anything. It's just to be completely at peace and to be able to just be kind of like, Zen acceptance of all. And just to be so in the flow of life that you don't get triggered. There's no reaction. You don't get upset. You don't get charged up and waste precious energy. If you're charged up by your partner, there's work to do. There's stuff in your rivers that you got to clean out. And that's your job. I can't tell you how many couples come to my retreat. And it's a great place to start, because oftentimes they're blaming each other, they're pointing the finger. And then when they kind of open their eyes to, hey, how does this thing really work? They start taking ownership and thinking, Grace, I think I have some work to do on my dad. I have unresolved issues with my dad, or, you know, I have mommy issues. I have an unresolved issue with my mom. And I think that these issues are bleeding into my marriage. So stage four is an opportunity for you to, you know, accept yourself and the other person and to realize that there's more going on under the surface, that it's not just what you see. It's not just this person that you're married to or that you have made a life with who is driving you insane and therefore it's their fault. Okay? Because, you know, the Buddhists say that whatever you run from, it just chases you. Do you know how many times, second marriage, third marriage, you marry the same person, you're attracted to the same vibe, same frequency, different face. And sometimes not even a different face. Sometimes it's the look, you know, the person keeps attracting the same kind of person. Why? Because you haven't done your work. You haven't figured it out. So you keep attracting. For example, if you're a giver and you're very generous, and then you give and give and give and give, and then all of a sudden you start to resent the person you're giving to, and then you don't do any work on yourself as to why are you giving so much all the time? You know, well, oh, okay, there's a pattern I learned in my childhood that if I don't give, then I don't get. So I learned I have to give in order to get love back. And so here I am now in my relationship and I'm always giving, 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 and they're not giving back to me and it pushes my buttons and then the relationship ends. You've got to do work on you. You've got to figure that out. You've got to come into consciousness. You know, you got to shed some light on these patterns because we're, you know, we're complicated, but then we're really not that complicated. You know, like I just love working with people and listening to their stories. And then just kind of like I get it. You know, there's a certain moment I'm talking to them. And I just see the patterns and I understand them. And it's a real high to be able to understand yourself like that, to be able to have a skilled person who asks you the right questions, like Socrates said. You know, you ask the right questions. You don't give people the answer. You ask the question so that your own truth comes out and it's revealed to you. And it's just such a high to kind of understand yourself. Another way to say it, you know, they say knowledge is power. Well, I think self-knowledge is the ultimate power. And to be really owning your life today, you have to have a certain amount of self-knowledge. You know, be philosophical with yourself and understand yourself and where you come from. And relationships are a great way to start. If your relationships are not working out, you got to look within. Okay, that's stage four. Stage five is really bad. So before it gets good, it's got to go really bad. It is chaos. So stage four is the ordeal, the power struggle. Stage five is chaos, loss of control. In most relationships, there is a point where people descend into the pit of darkness and hopelessness. This is a time when you feel that all is lost. The issue that has plagued your relationship seems bigger than life. Chaos is announced to you by an affair. You know, you thought you knew this person and then you found out they lied to you. Or, you know, they have a secret like, oh, I've been gambling and I'm $200,000 in debt and sorry, I gambled half our house away or something. Just some kind of like real shocker secret. Chaos is also endless fights where it's just, you know, so much damage, so much ugliness, indifference. Sometimes people say to me, Grace, I don't care anymore. It's like, I've got the wall up. I don't really care. Chaos can also come about when extreme stress, like the pressures involved in raising small children, especially if the children are really young and you've got like three kids all under five, you know, they're all back to back and it's just a lot of work, unemployment or a death in the family. Chaos is often the void from which springs a new beginning. Some look for help at this stage and some don't, but many, many relationships end at chaos, stage five. They just can't handle it. It's just so painful. Sometimes people get to stage five and then one of the couples will call me and say, you know, usually it's the guy and he'll say, you know, my wife wanted to come and see you a year ago. Wanted to do your retreat and we have your website like you know written down and we have all the pages from your website and my wife wanted to do it and I said no, I didn't want to do it. And now Grace, I think she's moved on and I'm really scared. How do I get her there? And I often get that question, you know, stage five, sometimes people give up, they move on. It's like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too painful. I don't have it in me. They're exhausted. So here's my advice. If you find yourself in stage five, and I have heard some really nasty things about the coronavirus and the shutdown that we're going through worldwide with the COVID-19, is that people are on top of one another and they don't have enough space. And some people have lost their jobs and there's like way more stress. And some people are stressed because they don't have enough social interaction, and we are social beings. You know, think about it. How do we punish people with, a criminal offense in this country? You know, we put them in solitary confinement because that's what we do to punish people. And many of us, because of COVID-19, we are in solitary confinement and they don't see anybody. And so it's really sad and really stressful. But if you're in stage five and you just feel like you're at the end of your rope, my advice to you is just do nothing. Just do nothing. Just park it. Don't call the lawyers up. Please don't call the lawyer. Don't make threats. Don't move on. Don't move, out of the house. You might move out of the bedroom and, give yourself some space. Separation is not divorce. I always say this. Sometimes separation is your foot is off the gas. You take the gasoline off the fire. Separation is not divorce. Giving some time so that your brain can kind of, gather its energy and have perspective and some kind of context for what's going on. So stage five, too many of us are like so much in a hurry, like, okay, we got to figure it out. Shit, get off the pot, fish your cup, bait. That's our society, is like pressure. I just know that in my own 36-year marriage, there was probably one or two times where I was in stage five, where I felt like my brain was in a frying pan and it was on high heat. And this person who was my best friend, I thought, like, who are you? And, just back away, just give them space. He gave me space. I gave him space. Nobody ran to the lawyers. Okay. So stage five often is just before you hit stage six, which is the awakening, which is surrender. Stage five is necessary before things can get really good. The homeopath, naturopathic doctors will say this too. There's got to be like a healing crisis, that before you can really heal in the natural way, that there's going to be, like more of a valley. There's going to be some pain that's going to be, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So stage five is that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what do you do? What you do in stage five says everything about your character. Okay. So if you survive stage five, because a lot of couples don't, you go into stage six. Stage six is surrender. It's like, I give up. I don't have the answers. Maybe I'm not right. Maybe my rivers with mom and dad are filled up with too much shit. And maybe it was me. And stage six starts to awaken the person that, what have I contributed to this mess? I have definitely have contributed. It's never one person's fault. It's never, ever, ever. It is a dance, right? It's a dance. He does his thing, and then she does her thing, and then she does her thing, and then he does his thing. And, it's always a dance, and it's 50-50. You're contributing to the way you're reacting, and then they push your button, and then you react, and then your reaction causes their button to be pushed, and then they react. And so, stage six basically says, hey, I'm not going to point the finger at you anymore. I own it. I own my 50%. This person, both people give up expectations. Some people say this is a spiritual act. Why? Because it assumes that a force greater than yourself is guiding the action. And as soon as you surrender and you say, we don't have the answers, light begins to dawn and patterns begin to emerge. And then you understand the purpose of the ordeal. I can't tell you how many women will say, Grace, I really want to come to your retreat. I really feel we need it. But my husband thinks that we don't need help. My husband thinks we can do it ourselves. And so she's like, you know, do you have any advice for me? And then eventually, it's like, you can't do it yourself. And I wish so many couples wouldn't let so much time go by, because sometimes they come to me, it's too late. And so much water has gone under the bridge, and so much ugliness that they're just battered and bruised, and they're just so tired. And sometimes they come and they've caught it in time. So surrender, the awakening. Oftentimes you have to both be open to the idea that, hey, maybe I have contributed here some negative stuff, and maybe I need to learn some things. So that's stage six. And if you're really the lucky ones on this planet, you get to stage seven, which is transformation, true love. Transformation, true love is a place where there's no more judgment, only acceptance, only love. The person and the relationship is forever changed. Both partners may be bloodied and weary from the journey. And they could, at this stage, say, you know what? I'm going to choose a new partner to finish the story with. We lost that loving feeling. We let it slip away. But a grander possibility is that both of you have evolved and can continue on a higher plane with each other. At this stage, there's nothing left to lose. You did not get your way. Your relationship wasn't perfect. You had to face your own imperfections. You lost control. For a few years there, you thought you were losing your mind. Most men say to me, my wife is driving me crazy. She's crazy. Too many emotions, Grace. Don't know what to do. Yeah, I'm sure it seems like it's crazy making for you. So at this stage, you know, people are awakened to the fact that, you know, it was all there. You know, I trigger your wounds, then you trigger my wounds, then we have a bit of a battle, and then, you know, we kiss, we make up, and then we have this life, and it's not perfect, but it's messy. One of the best movies in Hollywood was Crazy Stupid Love. Oh my God, did they ever get that right? They understand how crazy and messy love is. It's not supposed to be nice and clean and all perfect. It's crazy and it's messy and it's unpredictable, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So if you're one of the lucky ones that gets to go to stage seven, this is the time when you're released from the power struggles and the petty problems. You know, you don't keep a grudge with your partner. You know, they make a mistake and you go, okay, you know, you're a bit of a jerk there, but that's okay. You know, you bounce back and you realize that the person here has got your back no matter what, even if they're having a bad day. It's very Buddhist, because when you have moved from the attachment of the personality and arrived at the detachment that is real love, you have been transformed. That's why it's called transformational. You know, love is supposed to transform us. This core relationship with your special mammal, your special person, it's supposed to be transforming. So what does it mean that detachment is real love? Like, that sounds like a really weird concept for us here in the West. Because when you're loving someone, you're supposed to be interested and you're supposed to be with them. You're supposed to be on top of them. You're supposed to be there. But it's very Buddhist to say that real love is detachment. Detachment from control. Detachment from my idea of how you need to be. Okay, trying to change you. Trying to rehabilitate you. You know, some people love us. They really want what's good for us. They want us to flourish and blossom. I truly believe that my partner, Santo, really loves me this way. You know, he always has given me love and he wants me to grow, and he never a competitive bone in his body. And this is that love from detachment, that I don't need you to be my version of you for me to love you. So loving this person from a place of detachment is the transformative true loves. It's a seven course meal love. You don't want stage one. Stage one is the firecracker. It's good for a short time, but there's no longevity. Like by definition, there's no longevity in stage one. So this myth that like, I only want to go to the way we were, like we got to get off that horse. We're not going to go there. That's not where true love is for us. That's immature love. That's like the beginning of love. It's not the end for love. So I think we're all craving and wanting stage seven, true love, the full enchilada, the seven course meal love. We want someone to see us, you know, not just be excited, pitter patter. I think that's why so many of us have this big problem with aging, because we think that if we're going to get older, no one's going to love us. You know, I have some girlfriends who've gone through divorce and, you know, they're out there dating and they're like terrified that they're not good enough, not beautiful enough, not skinny enough, not pretty enough, not young enough to be loved. True love is transformative love. The highest level of this transformation, which may take decades and many partners to achieve or may never be fulfilled in a single lifetime, is reached when we're able to embrace another human being with nothing but the grace of pure love. No judgment, no axe to grind, no needs to whimper over, just total acceptance. It's such a gift to be with someone, to share space with someone who just accepts you as is, you know, not because they want you to be a certain way. I wish that all of you, all of us should experience true love, stage seven love. And maybe you're on your way there. Maybe you're in the valley right now. You're in the dark night of the soul. You're in the crisis and you're like almost giving up. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, that's it. Like when COVID is over, I'm calling the divorce lawyer. Because right now, this social distancing, I can't really go visit. But I'm definitely getting a lawyer because like I am done with this person. I want you to rethink that. I want you to, give this person a chance. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to think about what can you work on in yourself. When I coach people, you know, a lot of times people like to complain, like to bitch about the people that are not on the call with me. You know, people in their life, you know, and like this person has to change and this person has to change. And my big thing is, you know what? That person's not on the call. You're on the call with me. And so this is about your personal growth. So what do you feel that you want to change? What do you feel needs changing in you? I think we all need to take some responsibility and really be humbled and look in the mirror and ask, what can we change? What do we want to change? What kind of human do we want to be? What kind of legacy do we want to leave? What kind of role model do we want to be to our children and grandchildren? You know, love is the reason for the journey. Love is the reason why we're here. And stage seven love is worth it. And I mean, I don't want to be non-humble here or, to say that, you know, my husband and I, after 36 years, we're in this true love place. But if we're not there, I feel like we're on the windowsill of true love. We're on the windowsill of that transformation. Like I can see it and he can see it. And I'm so grateful for the journey that, you know, we never gave up. So I don't just teach this stuff. I have lived this stuff and I know what it means to go up and down on that roller coaster, marriage roller coaster, because we all have gone through it. But I just want to give you inspiration and hope that if you're going through that roller coaster right now, that there is something out there that you can't see, not behind you. It's not behind you. You're never going to go back there. It's impossible. Stage one with this person, impossible. Okay. But there is a place out on the horizon for you that is going to be a place of joy and acceptance and love and security. So I wish all of you to experience that. Thank you.